mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Old Testament lesson for this Sunday, the 28th chapter of Genesis, the 17th verse. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." I suspect that all of us are well acquainted with the story in today's Old Testament lesson. I suspect we might refer to it as the story of Jacob's ladder. That ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. It's a picture that appeals to all ages, but I suspect especially it appealed to us as little children. Jacob's ladder. At the end of the story, Jacob awakes from sleep, and he says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Those words, the house of God and the gate of heaven, appear on the cover of our Sunday bulletin every week. And they point to the truth that this building in which we worship is indeed the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The Jacob's ladder, with the angels of God ascending and descending on it, the presence of God in his house, so that it is the house of God and the gate of heaven. These are certainly joyful and comforting realities. But do you all remember the context of this story of Jacob's ladder, his dream of the ladder, and his awaking from sleep? It really isn't a very pleasant story, because in this story, we find Jacob as a fugitive. He's fleeing from the wrath and anger of his brother Esau. And the reason he's fleeing from Esau is that Jacob was involved in a very underhanded, shady, despicable act. His father Isaac was nearing the end of his life. And his mother, Rebekah, well, Jacob was her favorite, even though Esau was her firstborn. And Esau, as the firstborn, naturally was the heir to his father's inheritance. But Rebekah doesn't like that. And so she cooks up this scheme in which Jacob disguises himself as Esau while Esau is away. Esau was a furry man and Jacob was not, so his mother had him put these furry attachments on his arms, disguised him, and Rebekah made some of the savory food that Jacob rather Isaac, most liked. And the reason Rebecca does this is so that Jacob can, by stealth and deception, steal the birthright from his brother Esau. And so in his disguise, Jacob goes into his father Isaac and fools him, although Isaac says that, well, the arms of those are of Esau, but the voice seems to be Jacob, but he still didn't catch on. And so the result of it was that Isaac bestowed on Jacob the birthright blessing that was really Esau's by right. Needless to say, when Esau comes home and finds that Jacob has stolen his birthright, he is furious. And so Jacob flees, and he comes to a point where he has to lie down and get some rest. And it's as he lies down and sleeps through the night that he has this wonderful vision and awakes with the consciousness that the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So what are we to make of this for ourselves? One thing that immediately stands out is that the people in the Holy Scriptures are no plaster saints. They too, like us, fail in many ways. They too, like us, are sinners. And yet we see here how God, the God of mercy, can take something that is objectively evil, terrible, and turn it into good. And so God says to this deceiver, this fugitive, that, behold, I am with you, Jacob, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. There we see the mercy of God for sinners. And Jacob awakes from sleep and realizes that this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The angels of God ascending and descending, and the God of mercy reaching into the life of Jacob the fugitive to bless him. So we learn here that God can take what is objectively evil, terrible, and can use it for his good purposes. As I look back on my own life, I can see that circumstances that at the time seemed perfectly horrible, dreadful, senseless, were in fact used by God for his good purpose. And just as Jacob was sustained by the presence of God, so are we. This house in which we worship is not in itself holy. The stones and the glass and all the rest of it is not in itself holy. But what happens here is indeed holy. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven, because here poor sinful human beings are born again in the waters of baptism, receiving forgiveness, life, and salvation. This is the gate of heaven, because here we poor sinners again and again hear that the door of mercy opened to us in baptism has not been closed, and that we still remain God's beloved children. And this is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven, because here the gloriously risen and ascended Lord comes to us under the lowly forms of bread and wine, and feeds us with the body which death could not hold, and with the blood which even now pleads for us before the heavenly Father's throne. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.